This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching in a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Coming up at 11:33, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here for public service announcement. Since the election a couple of weeks ago, there's been a massive increase in requests for a couple of medical procedures. I don't think a lot of people will be surprised by this. Some might be.
No.
But I am not surprised. At 11:20, I would love to know if I am the only one that has freeway phobia. We have weather coming in tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that around 11:20.
Wouldn't it be weird if you were?
If I'm the only one?
Only one, period.
Oh, man. I hadn't even thought about that. Thanks, Greg. Oh, good. I'm truly a mutant. We will find out. We will find out in about 15 minutes. But I saw this morning, and I did want to use it because it makes me laugh. And
yeah.
Greg has very, very strong opinions about this.
Oh, my God, yes.
From the New York Times, headline reads, Wicked fans singing in movie theaters are anything but popular. Article by Remy Tooman and Sarah Ruberg. Of course, Wicked the movie, it was a smash hit on Broadway with Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth. And now it has been made into a film. But apparently audiences, because they know the soundtrack so well, even if they haven't seen the stage show,
yes,
they know the soundtrack so well that fans are singing along in the movie theater to all of the songs. Some fans who have attended early screenings have ignored theater norms to sing right along with their favorite characters, much to the chagrin and annoyance of other Wicked fans. Many have taken to social media to issue an edict. Shush. Just shush.
I have an edict. I can't say it on the air.
Clean it up.
Just don't.
Don't do it?
Don't do it.
Shouldn't be singing along?
No.
That's not what you paid for?
That's not what I paid for. What you paid for may be something different. I mean, honestly, it would behoove these theaters to have sing-along versions that you're like, hey, you pay a ticket. You come. You sing. We have fun. Maybe there's a ball gown thing. I don't make it like Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's what I was thinking of too. If you want to make it interactive, that should be a separate thing for
Absolutely.
Fans who want it to be interactive.
But for the first, I would say, couple weeks at least, don't
let the purists have their moment.
Not even pure. Like just be normal for a moment. See the movie and then say. I just feel like it's an incredibly rude thing to do.
To just start singing
yes,
along.
Yes, absolutely.
35-year-old woman who was at a screening recently in North Carolina said the singing was particularly distracting during the finale when Elphaba belts out the most famous ballad.
It's Elphaba.
That too. I've never seen it.
Neither
well,
have I.
I saw part of it. Defying Gravity is the big ending ballad. She says, there's this incredible last scene of the movie, and I wasn't even in it because I was so horrified. I could hear other people singing over Cynthia Erivo, who is now that character in the film.
First of all, it's Elphaba.
Elphaba,
I just want to go back to something. You said you saw part of it?
This is many years ago at a different radio station, and we were broadcasting from Chicago and had the opportunity to go see Wicked.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, It was very late at night. We had an early morning show.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I was only able to stay for the first half.
Gotcha. Oh.
And then I had to go back and do show prep and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. so it's unfortunate I never saw the second half.
I have never seen it either. There's something about musicals for me. I love musicals, but I also know you're investing 2.5 to 3 hours of your time. And for me to sit there for that, it just makes me pre-anxious. Like, as soon as it starts, I'm like, when is it over? And not because I don't like it. I just want to know when it's going to be over. It's a whole other thing. We could talk to Dr. Hanks about that someday.
Sounds like an episode.
But don't sing.
In the movie theater.
In the movie theater. Do not sing. At least right now. Actually, don't ever. Unless they tell you you can. Because there are other people in this world. And they're not coming in to ruin your time. A movie theater experience now is what? Anywhere between $12 to $20. And if I'm paying $20, especially if I'm bringing little ones or going with my that's a waste. I told you this before. I said, if I went to go see that movie and someone started singing to the point where I, as with this woman said, I'm out of the picture on it. I can't
hear the movie. I'm hearing this other person sing.
I'm marching out. I'm demanding a refund. Because it's just not fair. That's not fair.
855-752-4842.
Greg has opinions.
Do you agree with Greg? Should they be hauled out of the theater and thrown into the street? That might be overstating slightly. Or is it fine if you just want to hum along and you want to go see Wicked and you want to sing popular?
Do you think for a moment that when I went to go see Hamilton, I wasn't sitting there going... Of course, in my head and under my breath and like humming a little bit, and that's all I needed to do. But this notion that you need to make a scene, and there's one lady in that article who says she was a quote unquote theater kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah.
And that's the reason why she can do that. Leah Barnes, 28, a wedding planner and floral designer, identifies as a theater kid. Having performed in school and college productions for over 15 years, she has the soundtrack to Wicked memorized. Now she is excited to sing her heart out alongside some other amazing theater kids this Friday. People who are just judgmental in that way, please wait to stream it, she says. You're the one who's wrong.
What's her name?
Ms. Barnes.
Leah Barnes, I am also a theater kid doing plays in elementary, high school, and college. I also understand what it's like to be a human in another human's world. That idea, go see it when it comes on stream. No, I want to see it on the big screen. And I have that right to a normal to great experience. Not for you to be entitled to say, that is such a theater kid response.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join us. Kathy from Madison is on the line. Good morning, Kathy. Thanks for calling in. What do you think about this? Hey, Kathy, are you there?
Good.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Thanks for taking me on. It's unfortunate about the movie, but if that's the trend, it's unlikely you're going to be able to buck it. You could try to sit next to a speaker, depending on where they are, to try to hear the original score underneath everyone else's. It would be better. It's better that they sing rather than, say, talking over a movie would be one minor consolation. Otherwise, I had a streaming. I didn't think of that, but I don't pay for any extra things on my TV.
It's amazing, Kathy.
Stream anything.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's okay. Amazing.
Oh, I'm a cave woman, basically. But also, I do have a nickname for Elon Musk, which is Elon Muskovite.
Like it.
Yeah.
Friend of Moscow, don't you know?
There it is.
Absolutely. So,
yeah. Thank you very much, Kathy,
for
calling.
Appreciate it, Kathy. And you're not that much of a cave woman. You're listening to our show.
Yeah. But I understand and I take in Kathy's information and her suggestion. But once again, I shouldn't have to make special dispensations for my experience. When I buy a movie ticket, I sit in the seat. I expect to watch the film. If there is a problem, then simply report it, alert someone who works there, and we go from there. But unless you can sing like Christian Chenoweth or Adiza Menzel, just hum. Or you wait for streaming.
Yeah, you wait for streaming and sing and sing as loud as you want at home.
But I'm surprised. I won't be surprised though if they do sing along versions of this where you can come and just wicked your brain out.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Yeah. Calvin, what do you want to say?
Well, I was gonna go a step further than Greg. I don't care if it's literally the person from the movie. Don't sing during the movie. That's just, I don't know. I agree with Greg. It seems really rude.
Yeah.
I would agree with you.
I think it's rude, but also just, I mean, that notion of like, I'm a theater kid, and this is what we're going to do, and this is what you should do, because this is what we want to do. It's very America. It's very America right now, where it feels like, I have a problem, this is my gripe. Too bad.
Dom on the live stream, this is great. Apparently, Leah didn't get the part, and she thinks that she has to steal it. Leah, the theater kid who's going to go on Friday and sing along whether anyone wants her to or not.
Let's check the arrest records for the town she lives in to see if she is hauled in.
I love your idea of movie theaters having special screenings.
That's what they do.
Special sing-along screenings.
Oh, my
God. Like the Taylor Swift, right?
Yep, they have a Taylor Swift. They've done it before with other films, too. Disney films. Calvin?
Well, my thing is, even... like, if you're a huge fan of the stage show, you would never sing along during the stage show. So what about it being a movie makes it okay?
That's a good point.
That's
a really good point.
That's the top point right now. That's a number one. And that's, I mean, trust me, this connects. It kind of goes with the same thing when we tell people not to talk during comedy shows. You don't talk during theater performances. You're not supposed to talk during movies.
You're not supposed to.
You don't do that. But for some reason, they think, well, because there aren't people on stage, I can do this. Or because there's a person talking in a microphone, I can do this. It's the weird juggling of whatever's in their brain. And I think that's an excellent point, Calvin. It's an excellent point. Your tush would get thrown out immediately if you started singing along.
Or doing jokes along with a stand-up comic, right?
It happened this weekend.
Finishing his punchline.
That is exactly what happened this weekend.
You never want to do that.
Oh!
You never want to do that. All right. When we return, freeway phobias. Greg says it's just me. 855-752-4842. We'll kick that around when we get back. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
I have to go.
You're welcome. And though you protest your disinterest, I know clandestinely you're gonna grin and bear it, your newfound popularity.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Break down the guarded gate. There's not much time left today.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine, Wisconsin. You can join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Coming up after the 11:30 news, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here with public service announcement, as she is every Wednesday. If you ever have a question for Dr. Hanks, and it does not have to be OBGYN related, you can send it in to Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. And then we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Hell No Kitty edition. And if you ever have a tisbat, which I'm trying to make a thing, and it's just not catching on yet.
Well, I mean, you just gotta.
It's early days.
Exactly.
It's early days.
We need merch.
Tisbat merch.
Hashtag Tisbat, like a, one of those old 70s keychains that are like, you know, the bendy ones. I have so much merch in my brain right now.
Well, write some of it down.
Yeah.
Yes, if you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in as well to janesays@civicmedia.us. We do have some weather coming our way. It will be the first snowfall of the season. National Weather Service has issued a winter weather advisory for much of eastern Wisconsin ahead of the first snow. They're talking about the potential of 2 to 4 inches of that really wet, heavy stuff. The advisory in effect from 6 a.m. to noon tomorrow. Sheboygan through Kenosha counties, including Milwaukee County, as far west as Jefferson and Dodge. And it's also in effect from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m. further north in Brown, Calumet, Kewaunee, Manitowoc, Outagamie, and Winnebago counties. Weather Services, that wet snow expected to start falling late tonight through tomorrow, and it will cause some slippery conditions as you head out the door tomorrow. And it's going to have wind gusts as high as 50 miles an hour.
Good
so if you get
Lord.
Enough of that wet, heavy stuff on these tree branches,
yeah.
that's not good.
Yeah.
But we just want to give you a heads up about this so you can plan ahead and maybe plan to leave earlier than you normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And just prepare yourself, my friends. It's always, this is the first snow we've had. I've never seen this before. How do I drive in this? I have no idea.
Yeah. Drive like an adult. Like a
slow
careful.
Down. Slow down. Be respectful of the conditions.
Yellow lights aren't dares.
No, they're not. And I don't know if there's a 60-something chubby woman in front of you in a Subaru. Maybe don't tailgate her when she's in the right lane going the speed limit.
Why did you have to add the weight?
Because it's accurate.
Whatever.
But so I have freeway phobia now.
Yeah, and that's understandable.
I have. This has happened, I would say, over the course of the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to live in Kenosha, and I worked in Hills Corners.
Yeesh.
Which was a haul.
Yeah.
Never bothered me. Never bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
But over the last decade, I have gotten so anxious.
Yeah.
When I have to go on the freeway, my hands sweat. I can't sleep the night before. Because I just think about all the different ways that people are going to kill me. Because people drive like nuts. They're nuts.
Well, but that, okay, so you're not wrong. People do drive.
Like they're nuts.
Not everyone, though.
Not many.
Quite a few. I'll go as far as quite a few. I'm not going to say many. I think there's a difference between quite a few and many. Not all. But this is something, this is catastrophizing. You think the moment you step on the freeway, it is Mad Max
yes.
beyond Thunderdome.
Yes.
But it isn't. That's what you got to keep telling yourself. There are certain things that are out of your control. And as long as you do your thing, that's all you can do.
But what's in my control is taking a different way so I don't have to drive on the freeway.
Exactly.
Which is what I do.
Perfect. See, that's wonderful. That is exactly doing what you need to do to take care of yourself. And by the way, as said earlier, I don't think you're the only one with freeway phobia. I don't suffer from freeway phobia, but there is an instance that when it happens, and it happens a lot late at night where I'm driving home.
Maybe the visibility is not so good.
It's not about visibility. It's about oncoming cars.
Ah.
So I'm generally driving if I'm driving a 94, if you know, 94 is four lanes. I usually stick to the middle two lanes.
Right.
It's perfect for me. I don't like being in the left lane because the moment I get in the left lane, I just see Le Mans behind me just speeding.
I want to go 97.
Exactly. And when I'm in that left lane closest to this, when I'm in that second to left lane that's closest to the speeding lane, the merge or the change lane, whatever you call it, when people are going like literally, they have to be doing at least 90.
Absolutely.
Because I'm usually doing 70, 75.
I go five over. Always.
Yeah.
Always.
So they're doing at least 90 to 95. That zoom sound of their car scares the bejesus out of me. And it is like I have to put my hands on the wheel and like, oh, because it just sends me on my teeth. That's the only, I think. And of course, like, you know, someone comes crazily, like whatever, when someone changed.
Well, it's the cutting in and out and the,
yeah.
you know, dashing across three lanes. And it's just the recklessness that freaks me out.
Yes. And honestly, I think the recklessness on that level is far less, but it's those that happen that you remember then. Because how many times you've driven on the freeway
and nothing happens?
And nothing happens.
Carol from Madison is on the line. Good morning, Carol. Thank you for joining us. Am I the only one with freeway phobia? It's okay. You can tell me.
Absolutely not. I have several friends, three that I can think of right off the top, where if it's after dark, I have to drive because I don't have freeway phobia after dark. But when it's snowing, I run into enough idiots on the road that I usually avoid the freeways in the snow because there are people who just like drive like that all the time.
Yep.
And if there's snow, they just don't care.
That's really what it feels like, Carol, mm-hmm. right? It's like, I don't care if you put yourself, well, I do care if you put yourself at risk, but you're putting all of us at risk.
Yeah.
When you drive like that. Thank you, Carol, for checking in. Thank you for telling me that you have friends, so I am not alone.
I never said you were alone. I think the other thing, too, for me is the people who have bigger, more powerful cars, and their cars can handle and drive in snow easier. That's fine, but know that not everyone's like that. So when you drive that confidently, you scare people.
Hey, big truck drivers, physics still applies to you.
Oh, science.
Sorry.
Baby.
It still applies to you. All right, news is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Nice to meet you. Where you been? I could show you incredible things. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, and Cal Viente on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Greg Mach working on his best Swifty moves.
Just the music takes you somewhere.
Just does. It takes you away. She joins us most Wednesdays at this time for public cervix announcement. Dr. Laura Hanks, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
We are good. I've been looking forward to talking to you about this since the election, and we've been emailing back and forth just over the last couple of days. And since the election, and I don't know if this even started before that, Laura, but you have seen an increase in requests for certain procedures. Can you talk about what those are?
Sure. So this actually goes back a little bit further to when the Dobbs decision happened back in the summer of 2022. Basically, we saw a huge uptick in requests for sterilizations from patients, and many of them were saying that they were worried about having access to contraception, abortion care. And as you remember, during that time, we had kind of reinstated that 1849 law because we didn't really have anything else on the books. So at our institution, we saw a huge increase, and we're actually going to have a paper coming out next month, hopefully, kind of going through those numbers. But it went up over 100%. At our institution in that 1 year following the Dobbs decision. So, and then as you remember, last December, we were able to start doing abortions again here in Wisconsin. And so we haven't looked at the numbers again at our single institution as far as like, I'm felt like there was kind of like a leveling off. In the weeks following the election, we have noticed a big uptick again. And this, again, obviously hasn't been studied because it's only been a couple weeks, but I did receive an email asking to add on clinic time to accommodate patients asking for long-acting reversible contraception, also known as LARC. So that's like intrauterine devices or IUDs, Nexplanon that goes in the arms. So they're long-acting, but again, reversible, as well as sterilization. So removing the fallopian tubes. I don't do vasectomies. I'm not credentialed to do those procedures, but I know that from my colleagues that I, my urology colleagues, they've heard that they're getting increased requests for those as well.
This shouldn't surprise anybody. I don't think this should surprise anyone.
We saw an increase. We saw the increase before. I'm not surprised we haven't seen the increase in even more so now.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's also really hard is, transgender patients are really worried about if they're going to have access to the hormonal therapies that I would argue are life-saving, because we do know that transgender patients have a much higher risk of suicide if they can't have access to treatment. That population is very scared and concerned, and it's really hard to be a doctor and have your patient say, like, am I going to have access to this medication that I need? And I have to say, I don't know. And it's heartbreaking, but that's where we're at.
For people who might be listening to this segment for the first time, and Dr. Hanks has been on with us for months and months, and you do transgender care, I want people to understand a couple of things. First and foremost, this is a very long transition process. It's not like someone walks into your office, Dr. Hanks, with their 10-year-old daughter and says, Nancy wants to be Frank, so let's take it away. And they're certainly not sending them to school one day, one gender, and they're coming back the same day, a different gender. That is not even remotely close to how this process works, right?
Not at all. I mean, it's just like preposterous, some of the things that we're seeing. And it's really unfair to the treatment that is provided to this patient population. And I think also insulting to teachers and the education system as well.
I think and also to parents too, like the whole lot of everybody is insulted by this, by one guy saying this.
Yeah. Making these absurd claims. This is not how it happens. There is a lot of counseling, a lot of like mental health counseling as well that goes into this, and a lot of thought and time. Again, I don't do pediatrics. I'll only see adult patients. So I can only, speak to colleagues that I, know through my work. But, it's just devastating and frustrating. And, the next 4 years are a big question mark for us and how much we're going to be able to do our jobs.
Well, when we have sitting Congress individuals, Congress people, making it hard for their colleagues to go to the bathroom, I don't see it being much better for the rest of America.
Yeah. I just saw that this morning too. I was like,
If you're not familiar with what we're talking about, Representative Nancy Mace has come out with a measure. There is one transgender person in the House now, a representative from Maryland.
Delaware.
From Delaware. And now because of this, this person identifies as female.
Mm-hmm.
And now because of this, Nancy Mace has come out with a resolution that you can only use the bathroom at the Capitol that it corresponds with your original birth certificate, your gender assigned at birth. Mike Johnson's going to pass it. They're doing this just to discriminate against this one person.
And we're talking about Sarah McBride is her
name. Sarah McBride, thank you. Who, by the way, Sarah McBride has been serving, I believe, in the State House for a really long time I haven't heard any big complaints coming out of Maryland that she was disruptive when she's going into the bathroom to do private bathroom things.
Yeah. I mean, that's all.
Yeah.
Go on, doctor.
Just the level of obsession with anatomy is like just, it's again, like I've said before, you know, I need to know people's anatomical parts so that I can provide appropriate screening. Like I need to know if someone has a cervix, if I should do a pap smear, right? But your politician doesn't need to know if you have a cervix. Like it doesn't, it's none of their business. So it's just like, I'm, this is my expertise. So like, why, I don't know. Can you just let me do it? And if, can I just turn, there's a question in the chat that I just saw about what are the requirements, restrictions to prescribing hormone therapy and medications to patients? That might not have been my job, but I saw it. And
that's fine. Yeah, absolutely.
Do it, doc.
So, great question. And as always, it depends, right? So at first is going to depend on pediatric or adult. If you are over the age of 18, there is a long consent process, and this is going to be different state to state, depending on laws and restrictions. Again, there is a lot of counseling that goes into this from the provider side, also from the mental health side. But in this is all very well documented, and making sure that the patient understands all of the possible complications, what's reversible, what's irreversible when starting hormonal medications, and like things to avoid as well. So it is a long process that is not just like one clinic visit. I would also mention, it's like over time.
And you're not going for one counseling session and one clinic visit and then going back the next week and starting hormone therapy. Counseling, the whole counseling process must just in and of itself take a long time.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to make clear is that regardless whether you are an adolescent or an adult, the process is long for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. When we want to make sure that we're not putting our patients at risk for anything. And again, that they're well counseled. That's the most important part. Like, that's what I've always said is like, my job is to counsel you and then for us to make a decision that is best for you and your body. And that's how I practice medicine. Of course, I'm not everyone's doctor.
Right, listening.
Always talk to your doctor, you know, caveat. But that is how I believe medicine should be practiced. Like it is, I just need to give you all the information so that together we can make the best decision moving forward.
I think for me too, thinking about what you just said struck a chord with me, the obsession with of the sex organs between our legs and what we have on our bodies. And you know, what do you have? Do you have a cervix? Do you have a penis? Do you have this? Do you have that? And this is going to sound very conspiracy theorist, and I don't want to sound like that, but everything in Project 2025, everything in the rhetoric of these individuals has said that their goal for this country is to have people having babies, people working, kids working. Like it is, we're building a working class, a almost workmanship class. And the women's job is to have a baby, have babies. And so they want to know what you have on your body, but then is it working? And what if it doesn't work anymore? What if your reproductive organs do not work? What happens to you next? And honestly, the only, and please tell me I'm crazy, but could you see a world where men aren't allowed to get vasectomies? I know we talk about the fact that there is not a single law that hampers a man's body, but could you imagine a United States of America where they said you're not allowed to do that because?
Well, but I would think at Catholic hospitals you already can't get vasectomies. Do they perform vasectomies at Catholic hospitals? I would be very surprised by that, and certainly not tubal ligations.
Nuance.
really?
Well, it depends on where you are in the country again, and. Oh gosh, how do I say this? If you were to find something, like if there was a pelvic pain or something like that, and you recommended removal of the tubes at that time, so it wasn't exactly for sterilization in some institutions, I have heard that you could remove the tubes. So that's, again, getting very nuanced about like, but that's a great question, Greg. Just back to your point about like, would, you know, is there a world? I mean, I feel like right now, like anything possible, yeah. right? Like, yeah. and I hadn't actually thought of that. So that's a very interesting thought. Realistically, probably not, because again, like, you know, banning anything from someone that was born with a Y chromosome seems kind of not on their agenda, but could it be on the docket? Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, that's Maybe. The thing is it starts here and then it's just going to go up here yeah. to the world they want to create. And that's a world where yeah. the able-bodied
Handmaid's Tale
yes. can just keep on having babies. And if you can't have, whether it's, you know, you're a man by a biological man by their standards or a biological woman, if you can't have babies, then something else has to be done with you.
Well, you have to be sent mm-hmm. somewhere to, yeah. so you can be useful.
Take because, care of the babies.
Well, exactly. Go babysit the babies.
Yeah. Oh. Now that's going to stay in my head.
Interesting days ahead.
Yeah.
If you ever have a question for Dr. Laura Hanks, please email it into Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Dr. Hanks, I know you're going to be busy next Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, so we will take a little break, and then we'll see you in about 2 weeks. Thank you so very much, Dr. Laura Hanks. Really appreciate your time.
Always, always good to see you guys, even if we talk about depressing things.
Absolutely. Coming up, we're going to wrap it up with a little lighter thing. It's This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Hell No, Kitty Edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And I'll write your name. Boys only want love if it's torture. Don't say I didn't, say I didn't warn ya. Boys only want love if it's torture. Don't say I didn't, say I didn't warn ya.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, and Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. Always join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder, we're going to have a busy show tomorrow. Randy Manner, retired Major General, and a member of National Security Leaders for America. He will be joining us at 10:33 to talk about the Trump cabinet round two and some of the picks that Donald Trump has made so far regarding our country's defense. Pete Hegseth from Fox News. Donald Trump has also talked about bringing back from retirement former military officials so they can put them on trial for treason in the way they handled Afghanistan. So I believe Randy Manner, retired Major General, will have some opinions about that. He'll be here tomorrow at 10:33. Hour number two, a little lighter. Brittany Merlot with Weather and Wine at 11:20. Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company, all things sports. And then we'll wrap it up with where we are right now. 11:53, Calvin, that means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Dateline, November 14th. From the New York Post, headline reads, I'm lucky to be alive after sustaining car crash injuries while I tripped over my cat.
Read that again.
I'm lucky to be alive after sustaining car crash injuries, tripping over my cat. A man from England mysteriously, miraculously rather, survived a broken neck, a fractured spine, smashed ribs, blood on his in his lungs, and other car crash similar injuries after he tripped over his cat. 59-year-old Chris Rowley telling the Daily Mirror, "I can't remember much. Just falling fast. It was quick and it was over within seconds. And then I was at the bottom of the stairs." Chris says that he was home alone towards the end of October with his hairless Egyptian Sphinx kitten, Eric Morcombe.
Morcombe.
Who is that? Is that a someone?
I mean, they just know how to say the last name. Morcombe. It's
Eric Morcombe.
Morcombe.
His hairless Egyptian Sphinx kitten, Eric. Odd name for a cat. He was heading down the stairs when the wrinkly kitty, apparently feeling playful, dove out and latched onto one of Chris's legs while he was coming down the stairs. It took a bit of a chunk out of my leg. That's usually not good. Then I lost my footing. He fell 14 steps before hitting the bottom, where he was unable to move after the feline put the hell in Hello Kitty.
This is wonderfully written. I was going to say Eric Morcombe is one half of a comedy duo from England called Morcombe and Wise.
Oh, okay.
There it is.
I guess. He didn't realize the extent of his injuries after he found himself at the bottom of the stairs, but paramedics later revealed he suffered a fractured skull, a broken bone in the neck, two fractures in the spine, 9 broken ribs, each rib with multiple fractures, and just a little bit of blood in me lungs. My phone was dead. I couldn't get up. I physically couldn't get up. It's the hardest sensation. It's also, it's almost like claustrophobia. You can't get out. You can't physically get anywhere or do anything. It wasn't until the next morning that his wife got home and found him at the bottom of the stairs, then dialed emergency and they rushed him to the hospital. He says it's going to be 6 to 12 months until he's back on his feet. He's on a trial now because of seizures. We have to go back to the hospital next week to see if they need to put a drain in to get the bloods left over. It's going to be a long recovery, but he does not blame Eric, the cat. Quote, "The cat's adorable and he's only young. I don't take any umbrage to that. It's just one of those things. It could have happened anyway."
Tell me that's not the most English slash Midwestern thing you've ever heard. Response like, "It's fine. I'll make it work."
Well, I think what makes it so English is umbrage. I take no umbrage.
I take no umbrage on my cat, so, Mr. Eric Morcombe.
That is today's episode of Calvin.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Hard to disagree with that.
That's one of my favorite ones we've ever done.
Hard to disagree.
That's one of my favorite ones.
If you are ever looking for Tisbets, you can find them and all of our show podcasts. They're broken down into one-hour episodes. Go to civicmedia.us, civicmedia.us, and click on shows. Go to Matt and Air on Air. You'll find everything right there. You can also subscribe to us.
You can subscribe to us as a podcast. You can you'll get 2 episodes a day. You can also subscribe to This Should Not Be a Thing as a separate podcast. Very short, about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
But if you like those and you want to share them, you can download those from your favorite podcasting distribution center of choice. But there's all different ways to get us as well as all the other shows.
All the other stuff on the network.
And the beautiful Civic Media universe.
Absolutely. Check out our website, civicmedia.us. News is coming up next, followed by Todd Alba. Thank you, Craig and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a scooch and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.